observe our Lord's table service the first Sunday night of every new quarter, which would have been this past Sunday night, first Sunday night in October, and the final one for this year. But with all of the celebration for the Gold Rush days, I felt like it just didn't fit the tenor of the service. So for the first time, we'll observe it here on a Wednesday night, and I'm glad to see folks that have recently been saved in the service tonight. Lord's Supper is a great ordinance, one of two that Jesus left the local church, the other being baptism, and hoping tonight this will be a blessing to you. Come on, kiddos, you sing for us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 as the kids come to sing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll give them a couple of seconds to get up here and get situated. And you get in your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 10, and that's where we'll be tonight for our Lord's Supper message. All right? We'll enjoy the good singing. Jack, just hold that for right now. We'll get it in a little bit when we are ready to start here. And I wanted to make sure we have enough for everybody in our service tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're reading verse number 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Dear Father, thank you for this ordinance, and I pray as we gather around this table tonight for a few moments, and then as we pass the bread and juice, you'll draw our hearts closer to Calvary, closer to our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for what these verses teach us tonight about our complete and sufficient sacrifice that was made through your Son on the cross of Calvary. And I pray that we'll be, Lord, closer to Him tonight, and in some way love Him a little bit more preciously, more dearly than we did when we came, because we have these few moments together. Well, thank you, God. Please help us as we gather around the table in Jesus' name, and amen. It started in the Garden of Eden. There was bloodshed and there was death. It was called a sacrifice. the sacrifice was necessary because of sin. And always the innocent suffered for the guilty. In this case, an innocent animal suffered for a guilty husband and wife, Adam and Eve. The sacrifices continued. Noah and his seven family members came off the ark, and there was a sacrifice. Once again, the innocent for the guilty. Bloodshed and death. And then it was Abraham on Mount Moriah, and there was a sacrifice. Again, the innocent for the guilty. And again, there was bloodshed and death. More sacrifices followed, and through the times of the patriarchs, they continued to offer these sacrifices. Always the same, the innocent for the guilty. Always the same, bloodshed and death. In the land of Egypt, they had the Passover. And again, the innocent suffered for the guilty. They took the little lamb, without spot and without blemish, put it in the house, I believe on the 10th day or the first day, held it to the 10th or 14th, and then sacrificed the little innocent lamb. And there again, bloodshed and death in the land of Egypt. And of course, the night of the Passover, when the death angel passed over, when the Lord passed over. They were in the wilderness. And the tabernacle was erected. And there were more sacrifices every year on the same day, the Day of Atonement. The innocent for the guilty. More bloodshed and more death. And the mercy seat that was now in the Holy of Holies, where the cherubims were on top of the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat was never satisfied. And it continued to cry, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. All down through the Old Testament, sacrifice. More blood would be applied. More innocent suffering for the guilty. More bloodshed, more death, more blood applied. And yet it was never satisfied. It kept saying, sacrifice, sacrifice. Now the temple building is erected. And there are more sacrifices. And again, it is more of the innocent for the guilty. More bloodshed and more death. And over and over and over and over and over, and sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice for hundreds of years. Look at the end of verse number 1 in chapter 10. Never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. The sacrifice and the bloodshed and the death were never enough. They were insufficient. The sacrifices were incomplete. And can I say this tonight? I believe if we can say this, the sacrifices were irritating. They were insufficient, they were incomplete, and they were irritating. Why? Because of verse number 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every time they offered the sacrifice, every time the innocent suffered for the guilty, every time there was bloodshed and death, every time the mercy seat was covered with the blood, it was saying to the people, it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. And there was a remembrance. Don't forget that word. There was a remembrance again made of sins every year. Why do we have to have this sacrifice? Why do we have to have the innocent suffering for the guilty? Why do we have to have bloodshed and death? Why do we have to have it and have it and have it and have it? Because it's insufficient. It's incomplete. It's not enough. Our sins have to be covered again. And they have to be covered again. And they have to be covered again. So there was a remembrance every year that sin had to be covered. Sin had to be covered. So here it came. Another sacrifice. Another time where the innocent suffered for the guilty. More bloodshed. More death. Never enough. Because of our sins, the Old Testament people were thinking over and over and over again, oh, there was some joy. There was some joy that their sins were covered for another year. And the priest had the bell and the pomegranate, and the bell and the pomegranate, and a bell and the pomegranate sewn on the bottom of his robe. And so when he walked with that sacrifice into the temple or the tabernacle, the children of Israel in their tents could hear those bells. They knew he was going in. When he got into the holy place and the Holy of Holies, they could not hear through those thick curtains, those bells. And so there was silence. And then pretty soon they began to hear the bells. And there was some sense of joy because they realized that the blood had been taken to the mercy seat and their sins were covered for another year. But it was only sparse joy because they knew that in 360 days they'd have to do it again. There'd be another sacrifice and more innocent for the guilty. And more death and more bloodshed because it was never enough. It was always insufficient. It was always incomplete. And on and on and on and on it went like that for years. Then one morning, on the Day of Atonement, the priest reported to the temple to begin the sacrifice. The brazen altar was prepared. The laver was filled with fresh water out in the courtyard. And then the priest entered the holy place and he put the showbread on the table. He turned and lit the golden candlesticks that was on the one side of the holy place. He was preparing to offer the sacrifices again. Sacrifices, the innocent for the guilty, bloodshed and death over and over and over. And he was preparing for another sacrifice that day. So let's get the brazen altar prepared and the fire going. And let's get the water in the laver and get it fresh and filled. And let's get the fresh loaf of showbread on the table of showbread. And let's get the candlesticks lit. And he turned to go to the altar of incense over by the curtain. And he looked at that curtain. And something had happened to that curtain. It was torn. That thick, thick, thick curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the cherubim, where the blood had to be taken year after year after year after year after year after year, and kept calling sacrifice, sacrifice, because it was never enough. That curtain was torn open. Who messed with that curtain? What is that mercy seat saying? It had been saying, sacrifice, 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 over and over again for how many hundreds of years? But it was no longer saying sacrifice. Now the mercy seat was saying, satisfy, 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 satisfy. The cry for sacrifice, the innocent for the guilty, the bloodshed and the death, was no longer heard. Now the word satisfied replaced the word sacrifice. Why? Look at verse number 12 in chapter 10 and we'll see why. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, so you got one man, had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And then there's verse number 14, for by one offering he hath perfected, completed forever them that are sanctified. In verse number 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So there it is, friend. Jesus had died, the innocent for the guilty, the bloodshed and the death, one man, one sacrifice, one offering forever, and there'd be no more remembrance of those sins. That's what happened. Now, it may not have happened exactly every detail like I just gave it to you. Spare me a little room for paraphrasing. But really, the context of the story is true. Now, we meet tonight around this table. We don't meet this, what we'll pass out tonight, this piece of bread, and this little cup of juice represent a sacrifice. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. And there is a remembrance that takes place around this table tonight. But it's not the same kind of remembrance that took place in the Old Testament. Because when they offered the sacrifice in the Old Testament, they were just reminded that, you know what, this is only good for 360 days. It's got to be done again. And in 360 more days, another innocent lamb's got to die. More bloodshed, more death. And And then 360 days later, it's got to happen again. And they remembered that every year a sacrifice had to be made. We meet tonight to observe the sacrifice that was made and remember that it covered, it didn't cover our sins. It took them away once and for all. Once and for all. We meet around this table tonight to remember the Savior, the sacrifice of our Savior. We meet around this table to be reminded of how sufficient and how complete the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was for our sin. It didn't almost get the job done. For almost all of time, it got the job done forever. Once for all. And for those of you who may be new to this ordinance tonight, I want you to understand that eating a piece of bread here and drinking a cup of grape juice does not wash your sins away, friend. That happened the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What this ordinance does tonight is remind us, calls us to remember the one who made that sacrifice for us. And in particular, when you get the bread, there are several of you here tonight. I don't think you've been through this ordinance with us. The men will come in just a moment and they will pass a plate that has bread in it. Little piece of bread, and that's unleavened bread, because in the Bible, leaven is a type of sin, and this piece of bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He in his own body took our sins upon the tree, and the body of Jesus had no sin in it, so this is unleavened bread, because Jesus had no sin. And you hold this piece of bread in your hands, and you know what you can do while they pass the plate to other people? You can sit in your seat, and you can thank his Father God, your Father God, that Jesus came in the form of a human to redeem the human race. If he'd have come in the body of an angel, the angelic realm would be redeemed tonight, could be redeemed. Angels can't be redeemed because there's never been a sacrifice for them. But there has been one for humans because our Lord came in a human body. So you can hold that piece of bread in your hand there and silently pray in your heart. Thank Jesus for coming in the form of a human, a man, a God-man in the body of a man. And thank God for sending his son Jesus in the form of a man. And then when we're all done and we're served, we'll thank the Lord Jesus for coming and giving his body on the cross of Calvary. And then we eat the bread. It is a type of us remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made in his own body. And then we'll ask the men to pass the juice. And this is not fermented wine. Rotten wine. Rotten grape juice, that's what wine is. Rotten grape juice. It's not fermented. It has no alcohol in it. Because this represents the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus was different than my blood and your blood. Wine is a good picture of my blood and your blood. Our blood is rotted. But wine is not a good picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. It was sinless, spotless blood. And so what we have tonight is a little jar, a little bottle, a little glass full of grape juice. Emmanuel's veins, and sinners like you and me who plunge beneath that blood lose all their guilty stain. Amen. And we don't lose it for 365 days. We lose it forever. Amen. Forever. That's the sacrifice our Savior made. And so we remember tonight. We don't gather around this table tonight. We don't take this bread and juice to be saved. We're not digesting the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ like a cannibal. When I eat this bread and you eat this bread and we drink this juice, it does not become the body and blood of Jesus. It is symbolic of his body and his blood and our trust in that for salvation. His finished work on Calvary. And so that's what we have tonight, the Lord's table, so that we can draw around this table, not to be reminded that our salvation is only good for 360 days and then somebody else has to go to a cross and die. We gather around this table tonight to be reminded that it's done. D-O-N-E. It's done. It's done. The great transaction's done. The veil is torn from top to bottom. Jesus became the final sacrifice for our sin. And he's the only sacrifice. work your way to heaven or trying to be good enough to get to heaven. It'll never work, my friend. There's only one sacrifice God recognizes, and it's what this pictures. It's the sacrifice. It's the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this ordinance. I thank you for what it reminds us of tonight. We are not Old Testament people. We are not reminded tonight that there has to be another sacrifice. What we are reminded of tonight is that it is complete, it's done, it's sufficient. And our sacrifice is good for the sacrifice Jesus made for us is good forever. Thank you for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that our sins have been taken away through His shed blood. And dear Father, would you please cause us tonight to be thankful and appreciative, afresh and anew, for the precious sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. Bless this to our hearts tonight, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to give just a brief invitation, and if you feel like you need to come to the altar and pray for the Lord, you can do that. Ask the men who are going to help serve the supper tonight to make their way to the front here. Sit in the front here. Churches of like practice and faith, and they're invited to participate in this ordinance with us tonight if they so choose, and you feel like you have the liberty to do that. As I said, the men will pass the bread. You take a little piece of the bread and hold it, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing on it as we eat together. We're reminded of the price that Jesus paid as he bore our sins in his own body in the tree. The Bible says this, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Book is page 56. This is not daydreaming time or thinking about somebody time. This is thinking about Jesus time. It's thinking about what he did for us on the old rugged cross. Let's sing it. They're playing it. It's 56 in your book if you need it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross in the path of suffering man's neck. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best take his life. He gave it. He gave it for me and he gave it for you. What a great Savior. What a great sacrifice. Think about it tonight. Let's sing verse 3 in the old rugged cross. Stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty, I sing. It is beautiful. And we're singing now. Here we go. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my soul. Took the bread when you had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. I love the bread. I really love the cup. a great song. It's a greater truth. We're singing together about that fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's face.
This afternoon. But I'm glad you finally got in. Amen. I'm glad to know one of our Sunday school teachers finally got in. Amen. June of 2000. Because of the truth. Gubbins?
2008.
Brother Kent.
91. 91 at the kitchen table.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Amanda?
2003.
Wonderful.
I'm sorry.
Larry? 17-dollar light bulbs. But I'm glad, I'm serious now, I'm glad that what this represents is good until I'm saved to sin no more. Now, I don't want to go out and just have a license to sin and do what I want to do because I'm secure. I want this to motivate me to do right and to love Him more because I am secure. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for coming. That cross. Thank You for shedding every drop of Your blood, and thank You that its power will never, ever die. Thank You that it's good until we're saved to sin no more. Meaning, that moment when we see You. Now, we're saved all the way now. It can be no less than salvation. But Lord, we understand that the day is coming where we're going to see You. And we won't break Your heart anymore with our sin. Well, we need to collect these cups tonight before they make a mess in the auditorium. So, thank you, Brother Caleb. If you help us with that, fellas, they'll pass the baskets. And I don't want you to lose the spirit of the hour, but let me just give you a couple of things to pay attention to on your way out tonight. Who's working our table back there in the foyer tonight, Brother Caleb? Sarah Harris and Faith Caps. All right, very good. Faith, you want to step out and get by the table. If you did not get signed up for something, then please do so. Bus workers. We have a ton of folks signed up for that Saturday. We don't have enough yet. We're off to a good start, but very few of our bus workers signed up. So if you always go on Saturday, we're counting you in that 80. We'd like for you to sign up. If you're a bus worker that doesn't get out on Saturday, we'd like for you to sign up. We'd like to have over 80 on Saturday the 17th. That sign up is available. So please take care of that tonight. Let me ask this question. Does anybody have an Illinois school bus driver's license? You've got a CDL with a school bus endorsement. Is there anybody in our church that has that kind of license? Not just a passenger license. Not a passenger license, Dan. You've got a school bus endorsement. Okay, I don't know if that'll help us or not, but okay. All right, thank you. Ladies, don't forget the cookbook recipes titled Practically Homemade, looking for recipes that combine prepackaged products with fresh products to create food that looks and tastes as if you made it from scratch. Please turn in the completed forms to the church office, and you may submit as many recipes as you like. Hey, there's a couple of special hours this Saturday from 2 to 4, okay? And don't forget the food bank tomorrow. Bring your own boxes. And soul winning, this bus visitation, 9:30 Saturday morning. So don't forget about that, okay? Well, it's been a good evening. I appreciate you coming. I don't know who I'd rather observe the Lord's Supper with than the people of Faith Baptist Church, and I mean that with all of my heart. I count you not only dear friends, but brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a great Savior and a great sacrifice, great salvation. Let's not abuse it. Let's honor Him with our lives, all right? Let's take our gospel light and let it shine. Man, pray for that big day. Let's ask God to do something big and be a part of it. Join in. Okay, that's it. See you later. God bless you. Have a good night home.